Today's program is brought to you by S. Wallace Edwards & Sons, third-generation cure masters producing the country's best dry-cured and aged hams, bacon, and sausage. For more information, visit edwardsvaham.com.
Hey, what's up? This is Jack Inslee, host of Full Service Radio. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Greetings and Happy New Year from Animal Instinct here at Heritage Radio Network. I'm your host, Celia Kutcher, and I'm really excited about today's episode. I'm really excited that it's a new year. I want to wish you guys all a very Happy New Year to start off because it's 2016 and what the hey, 2015 was a pretty intense year for me anyway. So we're looking on to bigger and better things and new beginnings. And because of this, I think our guests today are absolutely perfect. We're going to be speaking to Meg and Comey. They are sisters, and they co-created a vegan clothing line called Delicate Rain. In terms of beginnings, I think that more vegan fashion is really important. And I think for animal awareness, this is a really great thing. So let's get started and start this conversation. Meg and Comey, are you there?
Yes. Hi.
Yay. How are you guys?
We're great, and yourself?
I'm good, and I'm so excited. You're my first show of the season, so thank you guys so much, and Happy New Year. And
I know, likewise. Happy New Year.
Yay!
We've been looking forward to this. We think it's going to be such a great, valuable, informative, yet fun conversation, and something that I think a lot of people are starting to talk about, so I'm glad we can all get on board and, you know, just put it out there.
Me too, and I looked at your clothing line, needless to say, and I mean, your stuff is beautiful. And
I think, thank you. That means a lot.
I think that that's something that's really cool because, I mean, a lot, and this is with no disrespect to any designers out there, please, I can see myself sticking my foot in my mouth a lot this episode, but a lot of vegan clothing that I've seen has more like of a kind of like a hemp or a hippie feel to it. And so the high fashion stuff that's coming up, with the exception of Stella McCartney, is gorgeous. And I love the fact that it's bringing awareness to people that would not, for many people that wouldn't bat an eye to wear a fur or to wear feathers or something else, you know? So I think the market that you're at is the right one as well.
Thank you. Yeah, that's like something that we really wanted to make sure we addressed when creating this line. That was really important to us, was to show that compassion can be cool. You know, it doesn't need to be pigeonholed into this box where you just feel vanilla, hippy dippy, granola. No disrespect,
totally,
obviously, to anybody that is about that life, you know, or, you know, they dress in that way. But I think that there's so many different walks of people that are really interested in this concept, and it's great to give an alternative to someone that may not just be vegan. This is something that needs to be kind of brought up to everybody.
Totally. I mean, one of the questions that I have for you guys, like when we first booked this show, I was like, you know, like the old fashioned folk, like, you know, Karl Lagerfeld, those kind of people, Anna Wintour, like, what do they think about vegan fashion? Do they care? Or, you know, what is the opinion of people like that?
Well, go ahead, Comey. I mean, obviously with older fashion houses, they have like an old school traditional mentality where they associate luxury with real animal products and fabrications. But I do feel like a lot more people are open to it, and they're starting to slowly, you know, take a chance on it. I mean, you see somebody like Givenchy come out with a vegan handbag line for the first time, and
that's,
it's absolutely
awesome.
Gorgeous. And, you know, Stella McCartney is obviously an incredible designer too, that's up in that lane, and she's really been trying for many years to bring that to the forefront. And when she joined the Gucci group, she opened up the eyes to Gucci too, to like kind of, you know, pay attention to maybe using alternative products. So I think it's slowly getting there, but I think it's, we've come some way, but we still have a long way to go.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, even though you do have these great power names, you know, like Comey mentioned Givenchy, Stella McCartney, there's, you know, a few others that are doing great things in terms of, I think Saint Laurent had, you know, a pair of faux leather pants.
Good.
It's just not all there, which is fine. At least people are opening the eyes up and trying to create that dialogue. I think, though, that whole concept of luxury being synonymous with textiles that aren't animal friendly, you know,
Silk,
leather, fur, those are what are still deemed more valuable than something that's not. And that's sort of like an archaic way of thinking, because I think people should see that, you know, clothing or pieces are anything that they deem beautiful and beautifully made, mm-hmm. if that's making them happy, that's what's valuable.
Totally. Totally. I'm with you guys 100% on that, especially. It's so interesting to see because, you know, like the old-fashioned houses and things where it was just like, I just wanted to look good, you know, or mm-hmm. have that feeling of plushness and stuff that, I mean, you know, you couldn't get it out of polyesters and rayons like in the 70s and stuff. But, I mean, the fabrics these days are ridiculous. They're so good.
Right. Yeah. And I think that can only happen when there is also a demand for it.
That's a good point.
And people need to be educated that there are things that exist that can be just as luxurious, just as high quality. I was on a forum the other day. It was like a handbag forum. Mm-hmm. I just like to see what people talk about, you know, when it comes to luxurious handbags.
Totally.
That's something that's interesting to a lot of women, I think. And they were even talking about how they had non-leather bags that they had bought from, you know, just a one-off designer that had held up better than some of their leather bags.
Nice.
Because they didn't need to go get them rebuffed and mm-hmm. cleaned and take them to the cobbler and this and that. So it's interesting. There's a lot of non-leather fabrications right now that are meant to be sort of a faux leather, if you will,
mm-hmm.
that have coatings on them that make them waterproof. I mean, how great is that for people that live in a place like Seattle?
Totally. Totally. And I know that you guys have some kind of sustainable leather. One of my questions for you guys, which is kind of to the entire fashion industry, really, is that, you know, a lot of people will just automatically be like, well, it's vegan, so it's completely environmentally friendly. But like the old leather pants of the day or the old stuff, you know, like the Burning Man furry jackets and stuff like that, they're all petroleum based. So how does one deal with that? You know, with it's such a tough thing. It's like kill animals, harm the environment. How do you figure that one out, you know?
I think it's just asking your vendors just a lot of questions. We make sure that our leather is completely PVC free.
Nice.
Because for us, it's, you know, it's not only that we want to make sure that we're animal friendly, we want to also make sure that we're environmental friendly as well. And that's just something that's important to us when mm-hmm. we're designing, so we take that into consideration.
Mm-hmm. And is that something hard to do?
I'm sorry, I totally missed that.
I'm sorry, is it really limiting for you guys? Is it really hard to do that?
So the way that we work is a lot of times we are creating the concept, you know, in terms mm-hmm. of what kind of piece do we want to make? What style are we looking to do? And from there, we'll kind of be like, all right, well, what fabrication can we source that will look good in that style?
Mm, okay.
That's where it's been sometimes limiting, if you will, because it goes back to the whole awareness thing and creating a demand for, you know, these manufacturers to create fabrications that are going to be usable.
Yeah.
You can't always find something that is going to look good in certain silhouettes right. or that's going to hold up
totally.
In certain places. But the PVC is a big one. I think a lot of big fashion houses, when that whole, I think it was a couple seasons back where there was this influx, this huge trend of wanting to use candy-colored and pastel-colored vinyl-looking like pieces, and they were all plastic-based.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's probably one of the, I mean, Greenpeace has always said that it's one of the most damaging plastics on the planet.
Yeah.
So if you can at least, there's not a solution, I feel like, that's going to be an overnight success.
Totally.
It's more about baby steps and just being a little more conscious of mm-hmm. what it is that you're doing and purchasing and why, asking the questions, creating these dialogues so people are more informed and also can see that, hey, this is something people actually care about, so why don't we maybe look into this? This could be a business for us.
Right, totally. And going back to what Meg was saying, it's like you're going to be able to get the certain options available to you once that demand's there. So mm-hmm. right now it's, you know, unfortunately we we have a limited amount that we are exposed to in mm-hmm. terms of our options. So sometimes that conflicts with our creativity because we want to produce something, but the only option that or colorway that we have available to us is maybe a black leather. Mm-hmm. And until, you know, that's proven to our vendors that that's actually, you know, there is a demand out there, that's when they're going to go out and, like, produce other colorways as well. So it's a domino effect.
Totally. Totally. Well, actually, this is a perfect lead into my next question. Can you talk to people about fast fashion? What is that? Like, what exactly? Explain it, because I think a lot of people have decided that shopping for clothing is now kind of a spectator sport and something really fun to do thanks to Old Navy and places like that.
Completely. I'm so happy you brought that up. I think that has a huge tie-in to the whole sustainability factor, but a lot of people aren't aware of that. So, you know, when I'm not sure if you watched the documentary that came out, True Cost.
No.
It's an amazing documentary
that everybody, if anybody, whoever's listening, they need to write that down right now. True Cost is something that's going to open up your eyes to the world of fast fashion, and it really is showing you what your clothes actually cost.
Oh, wow.
Why the price points are the way they are.
Wow.
Exactly. And why fast fashion, anywhere from, you know, like you mentioned, Old Navy, but more alongside with the girls that I feel like the people that really are buying the fast fashion are a lot of the girls that want to have something quickly. They saw something on the runway, but obviously that's not in their price category. So
yeah.
They just want to buy something. So they're running into these Forever 21s and mm-hmm. H&M's mm-hmm. and Zara's. And it sheds beautiful light on how supporting chains at that level are really costing other people their lives.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Yeah, and it's something, too, I think, you know, what is happening with, there's so much excess these days, even with reality TV and that people kind of feel like, well, I deserve a walk-in closet the size of my home or, you know, 25 Coach bags and this kind of thing. And at the same time, we're having this consciousness of everybody reducing. And, you know, if it doesn't bring you joy, throw it out, set it on fire. So it's this really weird time period right now because mm-hmm. there's this one group of people that are like, more, more, more. And then there's this other group of people like, throw it out. So it's like, it's really fascinating. And I think you guys coming in now is a really, it's just really interesting to see all of this happening at this time, you know, because with your stuff, I mean, it isn't as cheap as that kind of stuff because it's made to last and it's excellent quality clothing. So it's clothing. It's not a costume. It's not a $10 dress, that kind of
mm-hmm.
thing.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to last.
Well, and the thing is, I think, and you're completely right, we agree with you where you're talking about this is a really interesting place to be in terms of this crossroads where people are realizing, hey, you know, this is too much. We're completely saturated and overloaded. We need to cut back either. You know, it's going to hit the fan, and
yeah, it
it's about to be a big disaster in a lot of ways. But other people, I don't know if it's that they don't care. I mean, obviously, there's going to be some people that don't care, but I think other people just aren't aware of the consequences
yeah.
of what actually can happen and will happen if we continue at this pace. And I think what luxury houses have always been doing, without really saying it per se, is sort of, you know, honing in the idea of it's all about quality over quantity.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
You, like, you
Definitely.
Really, you know, need to realize that saving up and, you know, working towards that one coveted piece that you would just be so happy about, isn't that going to give you much more satisfaction than buying 17 things at Forever 21, maybe wearing it once? Some of them still have the tags on in your closet,
totally.
And you don't care.
Totally.
That's not valuable to
I
you.
I mean, in the long run, it's like when you're purchasing fast fashion, you're actually, it's a bigger cost to you than it would be purchasing something that, you know, may be more expensive, you know,
mm-hmm.
down the line.
Yeah.
Right? But in the end, there's more longevity to that more expensive product. It's a reason why that product is costing so much.
Exactly.
It's an investment.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
And I think that fast fashion has done something horrible regarding true fashion and true houses and true designers, because it's like, well, I can get it over there for $5, so like, why are you so much better? You know, that whole thing. And it's like, you know, let's get into, you know, child labor and all that kind of fun things that happen. Not necessarily with larger fashion houses, but when you're talking fast fashion, like you're mm-hmm. saying, the price of a T-shirt, how is it 50 cents? How is that even doable? You know what I
exactly.
mean?
So. And I think a lot of people haven't equated that to each other. Like, they don't realize that, okay, well, you know, the sale that these fast fashion places may be promoting, like, get 10 items for $2. At what cost are you getting 10 items for $2? You're really not.
Yeah, you're not.
I think that's going to be an eye-opener for a lot of people. And true cost is actually trying to highlight that, showing you, hey, you know, if you are participating in that, this is what it really is about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's behind that price tag?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Totally, and it's a lot more than people think. Well, I need to take a break at the moment, ladies. However, I am speaking to Megan Comey of Delicate Rain, and we're having a fascinating conversation about vegan fashion. So stay tuned. About a minute and a half, we'll be back.
This is the story of men and women who shed not only their clothes, but also their...
And we're back. I'm talking to Delicate Rain's designers, Megan Comey. It's a vegan line, and it's really, really beautiful stuff. So we're talking all about clothing production and good things like that. So, ladies, question for you, actually.
Sure.
You'd mentioned it before about today's generation. Why should today's generation care about this?
Well, I mean, fast answer would be, if we don't start caring, maybe they don't care about their wardrobe or their diet, their mm-hmm. food choices, whatnot, but they should care about where they live if they want to have a planet to remain living on. You know, I mean, that's like the easiest way we can probably put it, mm-hmm. is that there's a direct correlation between, you know, veganism, vegan clothing, vegan food, a vegan lifestyle, to climate change mm-hmm. and reducing your carbon footprint, which in turn, you know, obviously has to do with whether or not how long Earth is going to be available to all of us.
Yeah, right. It's so true. And it's funny because people don't think this. You know, it's like there's so much more to clothing and to fashion that, you know, and people think, I mean, New Yorkers especially, like New Yorkers and Californians, we have a decent clue because we've got fashion weeks and all that kind of stuff, so we do mm-hmm. see a little bit of it. But even that, like, I mean, I'm born and raised New Yorker. I know, I pride myself on knowing fashion, and I know so little, you know, and so, like, compared to other people that are like, you know, that just don't have a clue, and they're just, oh, that's expensive, so this is cheap, and whatever the case may be. That being said, you guys have really done a great deal with your company, and I'm so happy to hear that you've actually gotten some really, really amazing positive response for your stuff. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
I think, yes, we're really excited on the positivity that we've been receiving, and it's been an awesome journey so far. We feel like it can just get better from here.
Good.
But for us, it's also, I'm not sure how Comey feels about that, but me personally, when I get somebody that isn't as enthralled or enthusiastic about what we're doing, mm-hmm. those are the people I actually want to sit down with and have a deeper conversation with, because I want to know, why do you feel like that?
I agree. 100%,
you know, yeah. Where did this come from? Is this like a personal thing? Is it an education thing? Did you, you know, not get the awareness that maybe everyone else is onto? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what's more intriguing, and that's what helps hone certain things even within the company. Like, okay, well, because the thing is, we're not just trying to market to a cruelty-free audience or a vegan audience.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's, for us, especially just being so into fashion and just loving every aspect of it, along with the animal side of things.
Mm-hmm.
But to us, it's more important to get a girl that isn't about this lifestyle
yeah.
to be excited
right,
about
can,
it.
Yeah, we can educate them and, like, bring more attention to the forefront to what they should be actually caring about, because it's something that they might not even realize.
It's true.
And once they know something, they might make better purchasing decisions after knowing that knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Totally. I mean, it would be nice if it could just get to fashion and we could just kill the
yeah.
vegan,
yeah.
you know, that kind of thing.
And especially with the media, even, it's out the gate, we already know that any, you know, vegan-based animal rights activism, publication, anything that has to do with this kind of lifestyle, green, sustainability, they're going to be supporters of you no matter what. That
mm-hmm.
is just a given.
Totally.
But the challenge is to get the girls that aren't about that, and that's the media as well, you know,
yeah.
is, I mean, Vogue is obviously, you know, the fashion Bible, but even like these more indie magazines, something like Paper or
mm-hmm.
Oyster,
mm-hmm.
you know, the magazines that a lot of these bigger corporate people are looking at to see what is and isn't cool, if they're even starting to publish stories on something like this, I think that would be a huge shift in the movement.
Yeah, it really would help tremendously.
It so.
Really would. Because especially, I mean, I remember it was probably about like the mid-90s when like vegan shoes started coming out, you know,
mm-hmm.
and that was like the big thing in New York. And so there's a couple places, Moo Shoes, which is still around,
mm-hmm.
and a couple other companies. And so that started the consciousness a little bit. And their shoes have improved 100-fold. I mean, straight up. The product, you know, the fabrics are better. The materials are better. Everything's better than it was in the 90s. So
mm-hmm.
now they're amazing shoes. And they have been for quite a while, actually. It's not fair to say that, but when they first came out, it was the stiff pleather and that kind of stuff, you know? And so
sure.
the fact that they were able to evolve, and so, like, vegan footwear was a very, very big deal in New York for a long time. And now vegan fashion, it's, you know, it's a smart progression, and it makes total sense. But I don't think people are as aware of it as, you know, with fake fur, yes. Fake feathers,
right.
definitely. Definitely. Especially because right now out here, there's a huge trend for like Burning Man wear. So everybody's in these like giant monster gorilla vests and things like this.
They're oh, right.
blatant fake fur, you know. But they're petroleum based. So it's that kind of thing of like, I think the education is so important because, you know, a lot of people don't want to know. And a lot of people think, well, you know, all right, I'm not going to buy silk, but I'm going to buy this, you know, or like
mm-hmm.
cotton that's laden in pesticides. And it's like, well, better, you know, but let's
right.
get those pesticides out.
That's probably what it is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, with us, it's, okay, with our execution, even our approach, we're never going to be the one that's going to go preach to somebody and tell them what you're doing is wrong.
Cool.
Because nobody is going to listen to you.
True.
It's literally going to just be shut off. It's like a parent trying to scream at a child. They don't care. They're going to be like, you're telling me that? Well, I'm going to just go do the exact opposite.
Totally.
Never listen to what you have to say. And so I think that's a really big point for us, is to really tell people, hey, it's not about this overnight change, you know, X, Y, and Z is not going to happen. But if you can at least just listen. Try to become a little more aware. Maybe the next time you go shopping, you're going to decide to buy the non-leather shoes instead of the leather shoes because of something we might have told you.
Mm-hmm.
And even that, I think, is a step in the right direction.
I did too. I do, too. I mean, I don't think this is something that it sure as hell isn't going to happen in our lifetime where everything's vegan and, you know, there's no animal products being used and animals are treated equally. But everything that is being done to educate and is just another step forward, and it's all helping. You know, it's all helping no matter what it is. And the animal awareness in terms of just the planet. I mean, you know, you can hate animals for, you know, for whatever. I don't care if you like hate cows and chickens and all that and you're a vegetarian or vegan because you don't like animals or whatever matter.
Mm-hmm.
Fact of the matter is that we need to cut down on our consumption and we also need to cut down on our waste. And, you know, that's the end of the day.
That's another thing. I mean, that is a whole nother conversation, I think, though, too. It's like a lot of people can say, oh, well, what are you going to eat all day? Just Cheetos? And it's like, well, you could if you wanted to, but... You know, if you want to be vegetarian or vegan, there's so many other options available to you, even if you're just doing it once a week. That is a huge start.
Yeah, it is.
With the Meatless Mondays.
Yeah. I mean, there's a reason why that works.
Mm-hmm. Right.
A lot of people that think, oh, well, that's, you know, that's absurd. And if you're not going to do it all the way, then you're just, you know, not really... a true activist. And it's like, you know what? No, it's that kind of negative thinking that's going to hold back the movement.
And I love
hearing
this.
It's not an overnight change. It's baby steps. And then, over, you know, in time you'll get there. But every little step is helping.
Mm-hmm. And I love the attitude that you guys have because there's so many people that are vegan that it's everything is so black and white, you know, and it's like, that's bad, that's good, that's bad. And you guys are, you've got it, you know, it's life isn't black and white. It's a series of grays. And whatever little things we can do or huge things we can do to help are really, really important. And so I like the way that you guys are coming at it, that it's not, you know, vegan clothing. It's fashion.
I mean,
that's
well,
vegan.
Well, the thing is, we were not... I just don't see how someone, how do you force a change?
That's a good
point. That's in any aspect of your life. If someone's forcing you to do something, do you think you're going to continue that practice once they get out of your face?
That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't
know. It's a delicate subject, so it's something that you have to take very slowly.
That's actually a really good point, because there has been people that, you know... Obviously, all of our friends or family or people we associate with, they're not all going to be vegetarian or vegan,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
We have a huge assortment of people, and there's times where people will introduce us to other people, and they'll be really excited about what we're doing, and they'll be passing along the information, and then sometimes you see these people kind of get a little... I don't want to say they're getting defensive vocally, but you can just sense this change in attitude where it's kind of like, oh, great, well, I eat meat.
So totally,
they're judging
totally.
Me. Or, are they going to give me a lecture now? Like, what's next,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so, but we've been lucky enough that once we talk to them, they're like, hey, you know what? We never actually thought about something like that, but hearing what you guys have to say, we're a little more open to seeing what this is all about, and
mm-hmm.
maybe next time we go somewhere, we can order something vegetarian,
mm-hmm.
you know, or we can purchase something that maybe isn't silk and
exactly.
see how it goes.
Exactly. It's like I work in nutrition as well, and let me tell you, boy, there's nothing, you guys know, there's nothing this cause tension over, like, all you got to do, it doesn't even matter who it is, you can go to any restaurant at any space on this planet and walk up to any random stranger and point to their plate and go, you're going to eat that? And you're going to flip them out.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah, that's one of the hardest conversations is about what people eat and, you know, that kind of thing. And so taking that to this level as well, it can get really hairy, you know. It's like, you know, some people are incredibly successful vegans. Some people are incredibly successful vegetarians. Sadly, that's not me. I do have to eat meat approximately once or twice a week in order to not become completely anemic.
Right.
However, you know, this radio station is also owned by a meat producer, but it's all heritage breeds. It's small amounts. It's about less meat, healthier animals. It's not about factory farming. So all these little steps are all just, you know, they're feasible and they're doable. It's not coming in and being like, today we will never eat another animal again. I mean,
right.
You know.
Yeah. And you bring up a good point, because it's about what's feasible and what's doable to your lifestyle.
Totally.
Yeah. So if you are eating vegetarian, but you're trying to improve, you know, you're wanting to go vegan, and you can only do it once a week.
Mm-hmm.
If everybody, think about this, even if everybody ate meat in the world, right?
Yeah.
And they all decided just to go vegan one day out of the week, you don't think we'd see a significant decline in dairy and meat consumption industry?
I definitely think that would help.
Yeah. It would be a huge difference. Exactly. I mean, I don't remember the statistics. I just had on the director of The Cove and of, oh, God, no, please don't do
Lovely.
This to me. Ah, Racing Extinction, Racing Extinction. God, that's terrible. How awkward is that? Anyway, he's vegan, and they did the whole Meatless Monday campaign, and we're pushing with that with Blackfish. And he told me the statistics. I don't remember how much it is, but, like, the amount of animals spared from one day, like Meatless Mondays, is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's really
yeah,
cool.
Great campaign.
Mm-hmm. It's a smart one, and it's feasible, you know, and that's the thing I like about your clothing line as well, is that it's feasible, it's doable. It's not like, you know, oh, you eat meat, you're not stepping in the store, you're not
right.
wearing a clothing, you know, because it's all about everybody doing the little things that they can. And why not do it looking great, and why not do it feeling beautiful?
And that's the thing, it's like, we understand, you know, we're not cheap, in terms of price point,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think we're over the top. We wanted it to make it valuable enough to, because it's still so synonymous with like price point, like the more expensive something is, maybe the more valuable it is. But if people are looking at it and they're thinking, oh, well, this isn't even real leather. Why is it this
mm-hmm.
price point?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you need to understand, well, who's making the product? Where is it being made? What are we using in it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the longevity of the product? Like, you're going to save up and you're going to buy one piece of ours, and that's fine because you're going to have that one piece in your closet for X number of years, and you're going to continuously be able to wear it, and it's going to be fine.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And you're going to appreciate it down the line even more so that, wow, I didn't have to take this to get it repaired or, you
mm-hmm.
know, get it. You know,
or have it be threadbare in three washings, which is my favorite. You know, it's like $10 dress, yay! And you wash it once, and it's like $10 t-shirt for my cat. Perfect. You know,
exactly.
Yeah, it's a funny thing, and I think where we're going right now with all of it, because there are a good amount of designers out there that are starting to look at alternative materials, so I think it's a really good place to be. You know, and it's something that we can have a discussion where it's not like 5-10 years ago where it was almost like scary for people to listen to, you know, of like, oh God, no animals were harmed
yeah,
making
yeah.
this t-shirt.
I think we're in an age too where it's like a lot more people are paying attention to and be educating themselves more on what they want, not only diet wise but just, you know, we have smarter consumers now because you can research things within the within
totally.
Your fingertips and see like what it is that you want and what you don't want.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, it's like, yeah, the consumer's a lot more smarter. So if we're able to provide that knowledge to them, then we'll help them create or make better purchasing decisions.
And I think that's probably the biggest battle that anyone in this type of space is facing. And
mm-hmm.
I think let's, like, more knowledge, more soft promotions instead of this hard, harsh preaching. I just
yeah.
think that that's... You know, yes, you gain, but you actually go 10 steps backwards.
Yeah.
It's just a negative way of trying to put out a positive message.
It's a good point. It's a really good point, actually. You know, it's like, use our great things, because if not, you're a horrible person, you're going to hell. Okay, well, that makes me feel good. You know?
Exactly. I mean, I'm not going to listen to you.
Totally.
And that's what, like, it's not even in just this. Space. That's with anything. That even goes for people that are promoting a political party or their religion.
Yep.
Or they want you to join, you know, their group, whatever it is. I've never understood that logic. It just seems off.
It's just scary because it's like, if I don't join, are you going to beat me up? You know, it's kind of
right,
like, I don't understand.
If I don't listen to what you're saying, so what? Now that I'm wearing something out of your line, if I don't... you know, use that in all aspects of my life? Are you going to come hunt me down and tell me that I'm a terrible person?
God, can you imagine? That would be so awkward.
Yeah, like, absolutely not. I just, even being able to talk about this openly on a platform like this, I think is amazing. And just letting people hear that it's not about that, like, please come find us and talk to us, because we just want to talk about it, you know, not preach to you.
Now, do you guys have a brick-and-mortar store?
We don't.
Damn.
We actually sell online.
Okay.
Via delicaterain.com. We have an e-boutique on there, and then we have other stores that carry us.
Cool. So we are sadly running out of time, which I hate, because I would love to talk to you guys about this for hours, but I want you back on in the future without a question. But I want to make sure, let's spread the information of how we can find you now, because I would hate to have this whole interview and then people be like, wait, shit, how do I find them? So how do we get you guys?
Okay, so our website's delicaterain.com, and it's spelled D-E-L-I-K-A-T-E. And then Rayne's, R-A-Y-N-E, and that's basically .com. And you can find us on Instagram, Delicate Rayne, spelled the same way, Twitter.com/Delicate Rayne. We're on Facebook as well.
Cool.
It's pretty much the same handle
across
on all platforms.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. Are you guys on Pinterest too?
Yes.
Wow.
We are getting back onto the
cool.
Yeah, we've been a little absent for
yeah, I mean,
but
we have some cute little gems on there for people to, you know, pin through, but we have been not giving the most attention. It's been a bit neglected, but that's on the agenda to get back there, because sometimes you just can't even keep up with
please,
all that.
Please, I haven't even cracked and done that one yet. I mean, between the Instagram and the Facebook and everything else, that's more than enough for me. I hear you on that.
Yeah, I mean, we do have Snapchat. I don't know how many people have Snapchat out there, but that's something we actually started to do to show. It's a way more personal look at our lives.
Cool.
You know, our day-to-day, or who we hang out with, what we do, what kind of things we're doing when we're not.
What yummy foods to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, I'll totally find you guys on Snapchat. Awesome.
Yeah, so that's a much more in-depth look at how time's being spent and who we're spending it with and just all the things that we are not putting anywhere else.
Totally. That one I like. That one, Snapchat's always fun. I always feel like you get a good personality of people on that one.
Completely. Yeah.
Yay. Fun. Well, I want to just say thank you guys so much. I really enjoyed this conversation. I think we had a really good one, and I think we opened up some eyes. So good luck with everything. And, you know, I want to keep in touch with you ladies big time.
I know. Thank you so much for having us. We completely enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, we
loved
it. It was a lot of fun.
I had so much fun. This was great. And so, yeah, I mean, you know, in the future, if you guys have shows or anything like that, please keep me posted. I'll be more than happy to help you guys promote. So,
thank you.
Anytime. And that being said, for listeners, thank you guys so much for listening. I'm on Instagram now on Animal Instinct Radio, I think it is. If that might be wrong, I'll fill you guys in next week. Anyway, I hope you guys have a great week. I'll be back next week with a new episode. Until then, take care.
Listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.